Hi, it's Fabi Fav, and before we start this mordida, I have to say that Babelito and I have been talking about what's been going on, and you guys know we're traveling, so we're not together to record podcasts the week that they come out. So we have a lot of pre-recorded stuff coming out, but before we start this mordida with our very good friend Yvette Mayorga, we wanted to send a message to everybody that's being affected by Trump's decision to terminate DACA. We're here, we're with you, and as documented citizens of the United States, we are here to do the most to make sure that our senators, that Congress knows that we are here to defend DACA. So the minimum you could do, listeners, is to call your senators, write them a letter, send them an email. You can even fax them, like Dionne Warwick and Aretha. You can text 504-09, text them resist. So text the word resist to 50409, and that'll help you compose a letter to your senators. All right. Also, a quick announcement. Babelito and I will be in Austin together on the 15th and 16th of September, and we're going to do some live recordings. So please keep an eye out on our social media for that. We'll officially announce it soon. Okay, enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Babelito.
And this is Favi Fav, and you're listening to a Mordida Minisode, a small bite in between our full episodes to tide you over until next Thursday.
Take it away, vámonos!
Yo, what's cracking, dog?
Que show que se está rompiendo, perro. I'm just translating what you just said.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so today I want to catch up with my friend Yvette. So if you remember the episodes of me in Miami, I really bonded with Ziwan Chung and Yvette Mayorga. Mm-hmm. And I haven't talked to Yvette in a long time, and I know she's got a lot going on, and she is a badass artist based out of Chicago. Chicana, Chicanex, Chingona.
Good to have an artist from Chicago because we have a lot of people that listen in Chicago.
Yes, she's fucking awesome. So let's call her and see what's going on.
Órale pues.
Okay.
Llama, llama, shh, por favor. Wow.
I don't know. Okay. Oh,
look at that. La tecnología.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Que show, que show, que show.
How are you, my friend?
I am doing great. How are you?
Good. I miss you.
I miss you so much. How? I miss hearing your voice from across the room.
I miss hearing you sing. That was my favorite. Yvette sings really beautifully, especially Solange songs.
I want to hear that. Right?
I have.
So I came back and I sang again, and then I was again reminded that I can't sing.
Well, I'm here with Babelito. You're on Latinos Who Lunch right now.
I know. I'm so excited that I finally get to do this and have a conversation with both of you.
So when am I going to get to meet you?
Soon. I mean, whenever you want to come to Chicago, you have a place to stay here. We'll go out, get food, and do the whole thing. And yeah, whenever you want to come. Or I think I need to go too. I think it's time for me to go to Las Vegas and get the experience of not just being hungover on the strip.
I've been looking for excuses to go to Chicago because I have a lot of friends there and a lot of our listeners are there. So shout out to everybody in Chicago. But yeah, like just come over here and we'll show you the fake Vegas and the real one.
Yeah, totally.
So you were in Miami with me, and a lot of the listeners already know that I didn't maybe have the best time there, but one of the things that I really loved about Miami is meeting you. So,
que pinche ternura.
I know when Yvette, she left like the day before me or like hours before me. And I was like, where did she go? Oh my God.
Yvette, what do you do to him?
I still remember like carrying my big ass luggage, just like all my art. And I was like, just putting it by the car. And then I remember I gave you a hug and then you were like, what was that? And then I gave you like another hug.
You must have done something to him because ever since Fabi came back from that trip, he's like, bien amoroso, give me a hug goodbye. Oh. So whatever you did to him, muchísimas gracias, señorita.
There was literally moments. We were in a car, sitting in a car, and there was this, like, you were, like, poking me. I would, like, turn around, and your finger was on my shoulder. There was, like...
It was really... We had a weird time.
There was a... No, but I think more than that, I feel like there was, like a familial thing. I don't know. I felt like everybody who kept meeting us were like, oh, did you guys know each other before? And we kept... I felt like I kept explaining to people, like, no, I just met Fabi for the first time.
Yeah.
I think there was, like, that feeling of knowing each other. It was really comfortable.
It was awesome. Like, as soon as I met you... I felt like you were one of my cousins. Like, we just, like, like we knew each other for a long time.
But it's also about institutional, like, how do these things happen? Because we have to deal with this, like, wide spaces. And when it comes to that, then many times we latch into that brown person, right? Because it's the family. It's like el primo, la tía, o la sobrina. And that's kind of like our safe space. You created that. And it feels like you guys had to create your own safe space within the sunken place.
No, definitely. I honestly agree. And I think that I would not have been the experience that it was if you weren't there and if Z1 wasn't there also.
Oh, you know, and
Z1.
I'm going to start crying right now.
I know. Calma.
I can just hear a door slamming.
Oh, my God.
I love you, Z1.
So you were in Miami, and then you went to Chicago for like a couple of days, and then you were off to another residency. Where did you go?
Yeah, it was so crazy. Yeah, I came back for 2 days, and then I was off to Acre, which is a residency in Steuben, Wisconsin, and that was a 12-day residency. But yeah, it's pretty much out in the middle of nowhere on a farm. And yeah, you have a place to stay, and you have these amazing, like, home cooked meals with, like, the most delicious organic food ever. Like, everything was from the farm.
Yeah.
Everything that they cooked was from the farm, and they cooked us, like, breakfast, lunch, dinner.
That doesn't sound like a resident.
Amazing facilities, like ceramics, sound studio, fiber studio. So I literally felt like I had, like, been transported into a completely different world for Miami, which was, like, really weird, but also, I think, really great. Like, going to seeing all these bougie-ass people and, like, all the Louis Vuitton bags. Gross. And, like, all of that. And then being on a farm with, like, no power for 2 days and no water. I think it was definitely two completely different worlds that I faced this summer.
Oh my gosh. Go ahead.
No, I just had a question because I want our audience to learn a little bit more about you. Just tell us exactly what is your medium? Like, what do you work on?
Yeah, so my work is mostly installation based. And I use the idea of frosting in the work to really talk about this sort of illusion of the sweetness of the American dream, but also through a feminist viewpoint. And I'm really inspired by the way that my dad crossed the border in the 1970s and sort of how that trauma has really shaped my identity, how I view the border also as a site of influence within myself. And so how can I sort of use that to sort of retell this story, but also to really talk about my experience of being born here and being within these two worlds, but also trying to realize what this American dream is and how it's something that seems so decadent, but, you know, seems really impossible for most of us to acquire. So I really like to play with that in the work, through all the decadence, through all the color, through the lusciousness of the work, but also how excessive and grotesque and consuming it can be. And to me, that's like what this American dream is, you know, like this feeling of being overwhelmed by it and wanting it, but not being able to have it.
Yeah, a lot of Yvette's installations are like, well, they're just that. They're full-on installations. So it's like a whole room just, like, It's like very decadent and, like she said, very grotesque at the same time. So you like walk in and then there's maybe like a huge layered cake, and then she'll use merengue, like meringue, right, Yvette?
Yeah.
And like make these beautiful paintings,
like betún for pasteles,
with,
right?
Yeah.
Yes.
With, yeah.
Framed and have a video and have sculpture and aren't you working on something right now that's gonna be part of Expo in Chicago?
Yeah, I'm super excited. Yeah, so through the last residency, so the residency before Miami, before Acre, I was at the Chicago Artist Coalition for a whole year. And through there, as being part of the Bulch residency, they invite one of the artists in the residency to have a solo show at Expo Chicago, which takes place here in Chicago every September. And it's this huge national and international art fair. And so I'm really, really excited and thankful that I have the opportunity to show my work there. So I'll have an entire booth that it's going to be crazy. There's going to be frosting and, you know, the whole 10 yards. What do they say? 9 yards?
The whole 9 yards.
The whole 9 yards.
She's going for 10, okay?
So can you tell us a little bit more specific about what you're going to be making for that booth, for that installation?
Yeah. So for the booth specifically, so the work is called High Maintenance. The installation is High Maintenance. And as of lately, I think really being influenced by Miami, but also being influenced specifically by Baroque architecture and really using these sort of tropes of the Baroque architectural interiors of these churches, of these spaces of kings and queens, and using that to sort of counter like the idea of the immigrant's home. And so having these spaces of decadence next to these objects such as the Nike Cortez, which to me are something that I have seen my father, my uncles wear. And they're sort of this like signifier for me of like the male in my family. And so the show is going to be sort of like opening a little bit more into the male part of like within this entire landscape of my work of talking about immigration, you know. And so we've been through this feminine perspective, but now I'm interested more in having these objects that can point towards that male figure in my life, which is my father. So there's like this huge 9-foot by 6-foot painting of Nike Cortez shoes that are all piped, completely piped. But yeah, really thinking of how to take back these sort of objects and like make them my own.
The idea of the Baroque is very attractive to me because this is one of the classes I teach. I teach two types of Baroque, but I feel like the aesthetic of the Baroque architecture, Baroque altar churches is part of our identity as Latinos. And we don't talk about it much, but you see it in the quote unquote sort of decadence and the way we decorate our homes. And so I like how you are tackling the idea of identity through the notion of the Baroque. I can't wait to see pictures of your installation.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, definitely, you know, and even thinking of, you know, spaces like the churches, you know, like all the sort of Catholicism and that sort of influence of, you know, being colonized by Spain and how that sort of has influenced like the entire landscape of architecture in Mexico. And I think, yeah, no, it's completely interesting to me in the same ways also. And then how architectural the cakes can be, you know, like I remember, you know, growing up across the street from my tia, and she was always making these like super architectural, elaborate, crazy cakes with like a water fountain in the middle and like ladders.
Yes.
And I was like, what is going on? You know, as a child, to me, it was like a Barbie home or some sort of like place that I could really enter.
So
that's really interesting too.
An 80s or 90s quinceañera was not a quinceañera without a fountain and a layer cake, like diferentes pisos, you know, and like a live fountain on the bottom. I totally understand what you're talking about. And this is interesting.
Definitely.
Because I feel like a lot of artists tend to box Latino identity to inside the States and outside the States, but expanding it to talk about this Baroque aesthetic, it's something that you don't see very often. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, definitely. So, you know, also thinking about Baroque aesthetics, and I think it was Louis XVI and his sort of room and the way that it was set up is like only this sort of entry access point to people who were like higher up. And so I think mm-hmm. that's where it becomes interesting to me too, how architecture can be accessible and not accessible, like how the decadence can be not accessible to certain classes of people. And I think that's where I sort of am really interested in branching off into talking about immigration within this space specifically, making it a space that's decadent, but that's talking about something that's very traumatic.
Also, the symbols that you use in your work, like you were talking about the Nike Cortezes and kind of tying that into pop culture. Nike Cortezes are the mm-hmm. white Nikes with the big black. Pavelito's looking at me like he doesn't know what I'm talking about. It's a style of Nike shoe.
Uh-huh.
So like think to all of your primos, all your Chola cousins from the 80s and 90s, they yeah. had the Nike Cortezes.
Oh, okay.
Those yep. Nikes. So she is, Yvette, she's using that as a symbol throughout nice. This installation. And which really, I think, touches on the style of the 90s that's having a huge resurgence right now. Like, I see all my cousins and they look like
Gwen Stefani.
Yeah, like, no, girl, why are you gonna bring Gwen Stefani into this? No, it just reminds me of all my tias from when I was really little, because they used to dress mm-hmm. the exact same way, because it's already, but it makes me think of like the Latino fashion, or like the Southwest, like Chola. I mean, it applies throughout the whole United States. You're in Chicago, so how that influenced fashion, and how Latinos are still influencing fashion, and yes. nobody really
gives us credit
for mm-hmm. for a whole
it's
movement.
So frustrating.
Yeah,
you right. know, it's like when I see, white women wearing hoop earrings, or you know, like these name plate necklaces. And I was just having a conversation with somebody the other day, and you know, saying like, you know, we sometimes didn't want to wear our name on our body, or like our birthday on our wrist on a gold, you know, bracelet, like. But we have to. We were made to wear it yes. for, you know, whatever sort of reason of presenting ourselves to the world and being like, this is my name and this is the year that I was born, and don't forget that. But these people are able to sort of take these objects and then wear them as something that is like commodified and then becomes like attractive and cool and other. And so I think that's the sort of moment that I feel like we're in, and where I really feel like I want to take that back and remake that. But then also, like, I want to add that the history of the Nike Cortez is so interesting to me, and I never really had like dove this deep until I really wanted to make work specifically about my dad and using the shoe sort of as a signifier. But the Nike Cortez was named after Hernan Cortez.
Oh,
Dios mío.
My God.
Which is so fucked up. And it was during the year that the Olympics took place in Mexico, in Mexico City. And I think it was like 1969,
yeah,
somewhere around there, like yeah. late 60s, early 70s. And the man that created the Cortez specifically named them after Hernan Cortez. It was really, classical. I think, racial sort of like hierarchical like move. To like want to name these shoes after somebody who had colonized the entire country, and people were going to wear them during this Olympics. And I find that so interesting that then they were like sort of taken by, like call them now like cholos, or, men who were in gangs, or, often trying to escape from the police because they were easy to run in. And then now you have like brown and black bodies dying wearing shoes that were named after a colonizer. I just think that's so fucked up.
That's
so many levels.
That's so deep. We're gonna have to find some pictures to put it in our website to for people to have that visual. But you're absolutely right, and that's part of our survival. The way that we reappropriate this sort of symbols of oppression, and how we have to make it ours in order for us to combat this sort of
definitely
yes.
Two snaps in a circle to you, Yvette. That just gave me chills. I didn't even fucking think of it. Cortez, duh. Oh my gosh.
I mean,
gosh.
Me neither.
That's incredible.
Isn't that insane, though?
Yeah.
I've been hearing the name for, you know, like my entire life in the shoes, and I never made the connection. Ever.
No.
Ever at all.
No, but wow.
And
Yvette taught me that. Do you ever use that? No,
no, wow.
Wow. Is that a Chicago thing?
I don't know if it's a Chicago thing or if it's like a me thing. But I think it's like both.
It's gonna become a Latinos Who Lunch thing. No pues wow.
No pues wow.
I can wait. I can wait to meet you and to look at your art and really engage with your installations, because you tap into art history to talk about 80s, 90s, and present history. And that's some really well-researched sort of artwork. And that's my type of artwork. So I don't know. It sounds so exciting.
Thank you so much. Yeah, no, definitely. I'm so excited to meet you too. And I mean, I feel like I know you already from being in Miami with like Justin for like a whole month. Oh, you know, it'd be nice to
That was so long, girl. We totally enabled each other. We're like, are we?
We really did.
We're like, let's just be depressed together.
I was gonna say that. Do you remember that day, Justin, when we sat in that living room and watched so many episodes of the what was the show called that we were so into, the show that's on Amazon?
I Love Dick.
Yes.
We just kept looking at each other like one more.
Like, are we really doing this? You're really gonna do this?
and I bet it must have been like reflection time, because that show talks so much about how fucked up the art world is.
Oh, totally. Yeah, completely.
Wow,
that show was so interesting.
Talking about how fucked up the art world is, make sure you check out Yvette's work at Expo Chicago, September 13th through the 17th. What's the name of your installation again, Yvette?
High Maintenance.
High Maintenance. And we're going to post a link to Yvette's website on latinoswholunch.com. And throughout the week, we'll post Yvette's work on our Instagram so you can check it out. Again, Yvette Mayorga from Chicago. So thank you so much for picking up the phone, girl.
Muchas gracias. And I can't wait to meet you again.
I can't wait to meet you too. And I miss you so much, Fabi.
Oh, I miss you too.
We need to make another Selena video. Nobody can record what? Me or take photos of me like you.
Wait. Explain this in detail, please.
So Yvette and I would make like 10-second music videos at night, like laying on her bed. We were for real like going crazy.
Oh my God.
I have them all saved. So if it's okay with Yvette, I'll post them on our Instagram again.
Please.
Okay.
I love how you started from my toes all the way to my head. It's like a full body.
Oh yeah. We changed it to Chelena instead of Selena.
Chelena.
Like Chelena. Oh my God. Yeah, I'll post them again so people can watch the ridiculous shit we did.
Also, that room was haunted and I was staying in there.
Oh my God.
For a whole month.
I know, but thank God Nina showed up and she put una limpia en la casa.
Y se acabó.
We left all the limones in the corner of every room.
Y los ajos ahí colgados.
Oh my God. Well, say hi to your mom for me, okay? And your nephew.
Oh my God, yes.
And your sister. Yes. And Jesus. Jesus.
Oh my,
I feel like I know your whole fucking family. It's so great.
I know. But seriously, I can't wait for when you both come here. I'm going to show you guys.
That's right.
The city. It's going to be awesome.
Chicago, we are coming for you. Yes. It's going to happen soon.
No, it has to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
It totally is going to happen.
Okay, Yvette. It was nice talking to you. Thank you for being on Latinos Who Lunch.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me. And I will see both of you very, very soon.
Bye.
Okay. Ciao.
No, as well.
Thank you guys for listening. And if you like Latinos Who Lunch, please go on Apple Podcasts and rate us 5 stars.
5 stars only.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And visibility is
essential.
All right. If you have any questions, concerns, letters, advice, send them to latinoswholunch@gmail.com. We're doing a listener letter episode very soon. So send them our way.
And stay tuned and keep sending those letters, because we're getting letters every day, Fabi.
Yeah. And if you have a problem with the podcast, don't ruin my day and send me a tweet or a Instagram message. Please email us so that I can ruin my day on my own terms.
Okay.
Yeah.
I fucking hate it. It's like, God, I'm so fucking sensitive to everything. And then I get a message and I'm like, fuck.
No, I actually like it. But everybody stay tuned for listener letters and keep sending them, because we're going to start after that listener letter. We're going to start reading one letter an episode, the full episode, so we can start and starting these conversations, because a lot of people have amazing ideas. They have amazing questions and amazing stories that we're getting every single day. So I think it's time for us to start reading the letters in every episode.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So that's going to be amazing.
Wow, you're full of great ideas.
Shut
Babelito.
Up.
All right, I'm Fabi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
Adios. Awesome. That was great. Thanks, Yvette.
That was so fun.
I know.
That was so easy.
Gosh, our show is like so good.
I love you guys so much.